I think there's a gas leak or something here. Maybe I should check my medication. I feel giggly.
You feel giggly?
I feel giggly.
And they'll drop a topic and get him to giggle.
I know. I wish I could.
If transgender husband didn't make you giggle, then...
remember the first time I heard that, I was like, whoa.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to GenX Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve, Courtney, Laurie, and Chris. In this episode, we are talking all about romantic relationships, what we thought they'd be like when we were younger, maybe our marriages or divorce, and what relationships may be like right now at midlife. All right, guys, on with the show. Hey there.
Hey,
guys.
People who are listening, I'm giving you a heads up. I had the booster shot a couple days ago and I'm okay. But if I start sounding a little bit like Barry White, you have
you know which is what? Perfect for today's episode. Let's get it on. That's
known. So maybe that is suitable for it. But yesterday was a blur to me. We did do a happy hour about this and we will have some clips later in the episode about relationships and marriages and all that good stuff. But I am actually curious of the four of us. I know that there are two married. One, me, divorced, and Lori's not married.
One spinster.
She's not a spinster. You're not a spinster. Okay, don't let that.
That's a joke, by the way.
Okay, that phrase.
That's why it was a joke.
Holy shit. When you were growing up, what did you think a relationship would be like?
Lori. I was 13 when my parents got divorced.
So impression changed.
Dramatically.
Did you think that you changed your thoughts on relationships because of that? I mean, did you go one way or the other?
I get what there's a part of me that always thought if I get married, I'm going to get divorced.
You thought that no matter what, you'd always get divorced.
I have a really high chance of it, according to statistics.
Well, the stats have changed. Back when we were growing up, I believe it was 50-50 chance that you get divorced. Apparently, the stat has changed.
Really? That seems high to me.
It seemed high. There's now a new stat that was in 2019. Most recent data said that 4.9 divorces per 1,000 marriages. The lowest number since 1970. So we are reaching right now the lowest number percentage of divorces in 50 years. But my parents weren't divorced. Courtney, your parents aren't divorced. And Chris, yours are together.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy that all three of you, and yet Eve, you got divorced.
See, G stands alone.
At least for me, most of the kids I grew up with around the neighborhood, there was maybe one or two parents that were divorced. I don't know if that was just like a Midwestern, just stick it through until or not. I also know that there was a sort of propensity for people of my parents' generation to get married very young compared to things now where people are getting married in the 30s or late 20s. People were getting married late teens or early 20s.
My mom was 18 and my dad was 22.
Wow.
Yeah, I think my dad was 21 and my mom was 19.
And then Court, so, how old were your parents?
They were mid-20s.
My mom was 21. She had just graduated college and my dad had just graduated med school. Did that click into your head that that's how marriage should be? Or did you say, I'm never getting married that young. I'm going to get married later.
There was a lot of messaging for us growing up from social culture, everything. I think the Equal Rights Amendment passed in the 70s and there was this notion that women should take advantage of the opportunity to get a college education, not for an MRS, a Mrs. degree, but to get an education to go get a job and earn some financial independence, which was a big part of the women's movement.
I was going
to
say
in the 60s was to have financial independence. So I think that really sort of fed into a lot of certainly my notions of expectations and what I was looking for. I never thought I would get married right out of college. I knew one person who did. I actually spoke at their wedding, waited, and we all got married around the same time, like late 20s. 30s after we had been in the workforce for a little bit.
I think you're right about the signal because of that whole notion. My parents, I went to girls' school and there was not a chance that I was going to marry my high school sweetheart because there was no boy. But it never crossed their mind in the discussion with me that marriage wasn't part of those initial couple years. I think to your point, I think you got your education, you went to college.
Right.
A lot of people I know met their spouses in college, but are we the generation that doesn't have a lot of high school sweetheart? Like my parents were not high school sweethearts. Sounds like maybe Chris's were because they were young.
Well, at Chicago in the city, the high schools interacted a lot more than I think in the suburbs. It was just a much more compact kind of place. You met people through people. So-and-so brother went to this high school. So you knew that person. And that's sort of how it worked back then. I don't know anybody. I think two of my friends got married shortly after college. Nobody got married before college. And then I think one of them is still married out of the two. Personally, I didn't know what the hell I was doing? Like, it didn't even sort of come into this world unless I could have a Laura Petrie's life, live in New Rochelle and work on a comedy show and take the train every day. Although the separate beds I'd probably not go for. But if it was that, yeah, I'd be a for it. But I just didn't come into my brain, mostly because I was trying to figure things out.
I think that's 100% true. We talked about in one episode that the prefrontal cortex, Courtney, you said, doesn't develop until 25 or something.
Correct.
Like, I don't think that you're suited to be married until you're in your late 20s, early 30s. You're just not cooked yet.
Unless you get very, very lucky. You know what I mean? Like, you find someone you're compatible with in your high school years, and maybe you don't marry them right after high school, you marry them later. You're just lucky that way, I think.
My parents have been married 57 years. And I guess the three of us are in the same boat. So your parents are all been married similar, like Chris and Courtney.
Yeah, almost 60.
But Laura, you have an interesting situation because your parents live near each other. Are they friendly?
No.
Have they never been friendly since the divorce?
No.
Okay. When you were young, what did you think your love life was going to be like? You guys must have thought you were going to get married. Lori said she wasn't going to get married.
No, I never thought I was.
Come, Chris? What did you think was going to happen?
It just wasn't. Wasn't even there. Like, it just wasn't there.
Why?
Part of it is I maybe just an insecurity or something. Like, I'm just like, but it's probably best that nobody is around me.
No,
I'm serious. For any length of time, I wasn't all the way there. There wasn't an honesty about who I was at the time. So I'm like, trust me, you do not want to spend any bit of time with me. I'm like good for 2 days. And then I just go into a dark funk. So it's best just to avoid me. Like Courtney or Lori said, I was uncooked yet.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
The stew could have been one that you just throw in the trash and order pizza. I don't know.
That's one way to start a date. Hi, I'm good for 2 days. and then we'll move
and then
on.
Then all bets are off because I don't know. I'm just going to be staring blankly at a wall.
Well, I've got newfound respect for Liz, babe.
Yeah, I'm an existential crisis. Well, it took me a while, but also therapy and other things have helped. But also, as you get older, you just
find yourself.
Just gels. You find yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
When it's just the time, you just know it's the time. And it hit me out of the blue, but it wasn't anything overly romantic. It was just like, well, this seems like a good thing to do. And the other person agreed. And like, we can travel together.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one. I don't feel awkward after a couple of days. I'm like, that's big.
That's big.
So why don't you pay attention here? And that's how I ended up getting married.
Courtney, I knew you in college and I did not know your now husband. What criteria did you have as you were growing up? And did he fit that or was he totally the opposite?
Was there a checklist?
Yeah. Did he have a checklist?
Interesting. I never had a checklist. I dated a wide variety of wonderful young men. Wide might be too broad of a term. I dated a select group of very nice young men in my life. I was a serial monogamist and they were all very different, like different backgrounds, different experiences. They all looked different. For me, the number one thing, they can make me laugh. I was instantly attracted to them. And if they were kind, those were two things that were really important to me. So I met my husband randomly through a friend and it worked out.
How old were you when you met him?
We met when I was like 24, 25.
I am also a serial monogamist. Chris, you had 2 dates with people, so maybe you were not.
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I had longer term relationships. I didn't feel like I was there. Probably it's a lot more clear now in retrospect. But this is so depressed.
No, it is better than that than getting engaged and determining that it's wrong.
I know people have done that. Like a couple of months out, they're like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no, 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 no.
Laura, you were engaged? Who did you get? Yeah, we didn't know that
again.
Who were you engaged to and when?
Oh, I was 28 and we lived together and we...
Wait. Back up.
Yeah, okay. We didn't know any of this shit.
So you had a boyfriend that you met and dated and then you moved in together.
We did.
For how long?
6 months.
Okay. And he proposed during that time.
Yes. We were supposed to get married in September. And 13 days before my birthday, the first part of May, he called me at work.
Uh-oh.
And said, I can't do this.
Oh, dick.
And I was like, I can't do what? I mean, he literally, that's all he said.
Pick up the laundry.
Right? I'm like, I don't know what you mean. And he said, I can't do this. So naturally I was distraught. I left work early. Cause that's what you do. You call somebody at work.
Did you go punch him?
Well, I went home.
Cause I know what you did to that soccer person.
Yeah. Yeah. I went home and he didn't come home until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. He was avoiding. And I was literally like, it was so cliche. I was literally sitting in the living room in the dark. I'd been crying all day. And
oh, Lori.
Oh, God. And, we didn't know any of this.
And then I moved out. We were living in his mom's rental.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
But I was paying the rent.
Oh.
Ooh. So I lasted about a week. And then I went, no. He can move out.
And then you
I'm
went
paying
back
the rent.
Good.
And so then I moved back in and made him move out. Well, the reason he couldn't do this is because he was seeing somebody else.
Okay. Right.
And so then he married her.
What?
Oh my God.
When did he get married to this other woman?
I want to say maybe a year later.
Oh my God. We need his name. We need to find him on Facebook. We need to harass the shit out of him. Oh. Are they still married?
No. He cheated on her too.
Oh shit.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Oh shit. You had the ring. You were planning the dress and everything.
Oh yeah.
Did you keep the ring?
I did.
Did you pawn it?
I traded it in.
Oh,
nice.
Good.
Nice.
I traded it in and got myself a really pretty tennis bracelet.
Excellent.
It was just a bad decision all around. What can I say? He saved me a divorce is the way I see it.
Yes,
even though it was really, really, really painful.
Yeah. Anyone has had a friend that you don't want to get married and you said anything about it?
I didn't say anything.
And they got married.
You wish you would have?
Well, they're divorced now. Do you think I didn't have to say anything. But
you didn't do I told you so afterwards.
No.
No.
Well, I mean, and that's so interesting because the last thing that I expected to be was divorced. I'll be honest with you, because I got married late. I got married October 2001, a month after 9/11. So that sort of framed everything in a very strange way. But I really thought that was it. I waited long enough. I was cooked. Seemed
how
like
long had you been dating him?
Oh, we were dating about 4 years. This guy I met at a bar.
Well, that's how it was done.
I was out for a birthday celebration with another male friend who wanted to date me, and I didn't want to date him. So I figured it was safe at the end of the dinner to bring him back to this pool club where I'd met him and knew other people. And he introduced me to my ex-husband.
Wait. So your date, he weren't interested in, introduced you to his friend who ended up marrying you.
Right.
So are you still in contact with
that? No.
Okay.
And he was pissed because I left the bar with the other guy's number, not the guy who took me to dinner. We were married for 12 years.
Wait, back up. What?
Yes.
That's a long time.
I was with him for 17 years.
Holy Toledo, Batman.
And I've been thinking about it because we split in 2014. The divorce was final in 2015. And I have not spoken to him since 2016.
Oh.
But I thought a lot in the past about what my impression of marriage was that led me there. Because my dad is a great guy. My father asked him one question. He said, will you take care of her? And he's like, oh, I'm 6'5". Of course I'll take care of her. I met a lot of guys, I think, who were the opposite of him. And I dated boys that I could break over my knee if I wanted. So I could run those relationships. I mean, Courtney, you knew Brad in college.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad was a lovely Midwestern Kansas boy. I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. And somewhere in my brain was just kind of like, woman takes lead between all of us. I took his virginity.
Oh, God.
Well, it's not between all of us anymore.
Yeah, thank you. Poor Brad.
Poor Brad.
How about he gave you his flower?
No, I took it.
Wait, oh my God, woman.
I think that the choices that I made were guys who didn't challenge me.
Mm.
And it changed because my ex
was
not like
that. So what drew you to your husband if he was so different from what you were used to?
It's because he was so different.
Oh, okay.
So you did the opposite.
I did the opposite. Okay. There's always been those stories about people, opposites attract. When you're young, you have similar experiences. So I think you find people who are similar. We have friends in college who dated and I'm still married. Court, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of pen friends. There's universal experiences there. I didn't have that. And so I went for someone who was the most opposite and 800-pound gorilla in the room. We ended our relationship because he's transgender.
That's a huge hunk of your life.
It is. And really, when I got married, I thought it was it. To Chris's point, you have to be ready for it. And something in my brain clicked that I was ready for it. I think for the first couple of years, it was fine. And then real things started to come in and the veneer started to pop, which was awkward. That screwed up my sense of relationships and marriage. I mean, a divorce does it for everybody, I'm sure.
You didn't just have a divorce, honey, right? No. You had a person actually change
Yeah.
everything.
Who he or she is.
And no one prepares you for that. So I think some Gen Xers are probably running into similar things now because we couldn't talk about a lot of the stuff when we were younger. I am still he-ing him because I don't know what has happened. I don't know their status. But the last time I saw him was he. But it came down to you got to be you. I got to be me. We're going to go this way.
Right, right.
And I stayed 2 years while he figured his shit out. And when he was at a point I thought was okay enough, I moved on. The dissolution of a marriage is so strange compared to the beginning of a marriage because it's so exciting to get married. Did you guys have like big weddings?
We got married by a Swedenborg. It's a Protestant, a sect okay. from like Norway or something like that. It was a sort of, I don't want to say a bone, but Liz grew up Catholic. She's lapsed Catholic for lack of a better term, but
recovering like me. Was
just like, would really be nice if you got married in a church. And we're like, what? Fine. We'll do it. Swedenborg. And it was a small ceremony. And then we just had like a little whoop-de-doo party. And we had it in Northwest Indiana. And we were still living in New York at the time. So it was like, flew in for 3 days. Actually, we got married before we got married. We got married down at Borough Hall in Brooklyn. In Indiana, they don't want you marrying your cousin. So you're supposed to get,
what?
You're supposed to get a blood test, I guess. And they're like, you got to get a blood test and then wait 24 hours. I'm like, I'm not doing that. We just didn't tell anybody. We're like, the only person we told is the priest. We're like, look, we got married and we want a couple of hours on this Friday. So we're just going to lie. We did. I don't think we told anybody for like 10 years.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell people for 10 years that you were married?
No, before. That we had gotten married before we got married. I don't think it would have been an issue, but it was just like, what? We're just going to pocket this one and just not tell anybody. And I'd recommend it because when you actually get married and go through this, you're actually there because you're like, I'm not nervous. It's already done. You can actually pay attention. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it.
I had a friend get married and she had a full ceremony and everything, but there was some weird wording at the ceremony.
Like we're what?
Like, that's interesting. We found out later that they had gotten an online marriage because they were buying a house and the tax credit was so much better to buy it as a married. So they bought it. They had a quickie Zoom marriage and then bought the house.
Right.
And then they had this beautiful ceremony with just some changes to the wording. Yeah. And then they told everybody after. Very practical.
People were reversing things too, because people were getting pregnant and having babies and then getting married. But I watched Say Yes to the Dress.
Why is that awful?
Because
I'm not going to say it.
I know. It is where I bought my dress. I bought my dress at Kleinfeld. And then
how cute.
So they made this whole thing, but I'm watching marriages and I'm kind of like, oh, a divorcee. I shouldn't be doing that shit. But there are people who get married and they have to conceal the baby bump. I'm like, well, that didn't happen with us.
Right.
I don't know about that. Like, if you
I think the stigma's there.
Not anymore. I think it was then.
And certain countries never had it. Like Scandinavian countries didn't matter.
Right.
Didn't matter at all.
But Americans,
a lot of other countries in Europe, like they live together first. And,
yep.
And then there's like the notion of you get a civil marriage, like you go to the courthouse and get a civil marriage and you can or cannot or whatever have a ceremony that's religious based or otherwise. So that's pretty common elsewhere in the world.
I'm curious now, what was your wedding like, Courtney? You said it was big.
We had a traditional kind of, we had a rehearsal dinner at a friend's house. We had an outdoor wedding at a beautiful historic garden in Annapolis. It was lovely. A friend of the family's has a big backyard. So we ordered some barbecue and had a big rehearsal dinner, like just hanging out and having fun. And then another person very graciously hosted like a little brunch the next day. So like in that respect, it had like the traditional check pieces, but we did do it outside, which was really fun. And then we went inside for the dinner and dancing. But our whole philosophy was
matchy.
Fuck no. But the whole philosophy for the wedding for my husband and I was we just wanted it to be a party that was really fun, that happened to have a wedding component.
Yeah, I love that.
Fun. We just tried to make sure it was just a fun, friendly, welcoming event for everybody. And,
awesome.
We still talk about it. We had the best weekend. It was so much fun.
We had a fabulous wedding and the marriage not so great, but we had a medieval wedding. We had a Renaissance Jewish wedding.
Come again.
Exactly. Wait.
A Renaissance Jewish wedding.
So you had a chuppah, but it was done medieval style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you wear something medieval style? Like, was he in chainmail?
He was pretty close to chainmail. It wasn't like Ren Faire costumes because to get my mainline parents to go along with such a wedding, it had to have a level to it, including getting the dress. And I only got the only dress at Kleinfeld's at the time that had a square neck and it had trumpet arms, like anything that was a little bit Renaissance-y. That's the only dress they had. Now you look at them and it's like, well, boom, boom, boom. I could have had any of those freaking dresses. It was a chuppah and we were married by a rabbi, the rabbi that actually bought mitzvahed me. And he would normally do it in a suit and he wore his robes because of the theme.
Oh, how lovely.
My ex-husband actually wanted him to say marriage.
Princess Bride.
He wouldn't go that far. He wouldn't go that far.
It was an event. My dentist wore a costume and went to see his daughter, who was the dentist, that day before. And she's like, this is your fault. My father stole my tights. Oh, my goodness. And he looked fab. He looked like Henry VIII.
Come on. That sounds really fun. So classmates of ours, I don't want to name them here, got married by a rabbi in New York. And it was the rabbi they found out that wasn't really ordained. And so like years of marriages were like they had to redo all those marriages.
Oh, my God.
And there's this one of them?
Scandal. And they were one of them.
Oh,
yeah.
And yet you can be ordained online like I am.
You could marry us all right now.
I could. Yeah.
How many of you married, Lori? And then Chris, you're ordained too, right?
Yes. $50.
I don't even think I had to pay.
She got in easy.
I thought he was charging $50 a marriage.
No.
That would be something.
A call to action for our listeners. Anybody want Chris or Lori?
They'll pay. And this weekend or a upcoming weekend, you are actually officiating a wedding, Chris.
Yes.
What do you do to prepare to?
You ask questions.
You
ask a lot of questions and you do exactly what they want to do.
Exactly what they want to do.
And I'm starting to write some stuff short and sweet, but it's not supposed to be a yuck fest. So it's not a stand-up routine. So just don't be a jackass.
Right.
Don't give it whatever the timber that they would like it to be.
Be respectful.
Just stay out of the way. Just you're there to officiate. That's it.
I think that's awesome.
Move it along.
I went to a Catholic wedding and I leaned over. Oh my God.
You're kneeling, you're standing, you're kneeling, you're standing.
And I leaned over to somebody. I'm like, are they married yet? Are they married?
Ours was 30 minutes from beginning to end. Done. Swedenborgs. They know how to do it.
You have been married how many years, Chris?
20 plus.
But you knew her before, right?
Yeah, we knew each other in undergraduate. We dated each other's roommates.
Dated each other in college. No. You just knew each other.
Just knew each other. And I was living in Boston and then I moved to New York and we were just friends. And then I was going to leave New York and stopped on my way in Chicago. I was going to move to Seattle. It's just one of those things. I'm sure I was just running away from New York just because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I wanted. This was like the 90s. I'm like, I'm going to Seattle.
Grungy, baby, grungy.
It was cheap. I'm like, fuck this. I'm living like a super poor in New York. I'm like, I can at least go and live reasonably well and Seattle. And it just stopped along the way. And we started a relationship and then we got engaged and we got married and it just happened. It just happened. I did know at the time, I'm like, pay attention. Like, this is something different
than
anything before. And I dated wonderful people. It just wasn't the right time or I was in the right place or they weren't in the right place. I got dumped. People get dumped. You're never universally the dumper or the dumpy. It's part of life, but I knew to pay attention.
I love that story. I've heard the quote that being married means mostly shouting what from other rooms.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so true.
It's part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now you text.
I think having your own life helps.
Yeah.
And giving each other time, like just you take time away from my big dumb head once in a while.
Big dumb head. And say that.
No, it is. I'm annoying. I know I am. Many people tell me that I'm annoying.
We love you.
Well, yeah. You don't live with me. Everybody has their own little annoying idiosyncrasies and a little bit of time away is a good thing. I said it before. I also think like if you can travel with somebody and you don't want to kill them 3 days into it, you're going to be okay.
That's key.
It's like you're a team.
Yeah. That's the cool part. I think about relationships because we did talk about this on our happy hour. Rita, she's been with her boyfriend for 9 years. Mm. She's 53. Mm. They're only going to get married because they need it on paper for legal purposes.
Yeah.
For no other reason.
Everything else.
They are just happy together. They found somebody who they could spend time with, their best friend. They live together. They do all those things. They just don't have that piece of paper. I do think that's happening more and more in our age, whether it's after divorce or whether it's the people who are dating while gray or however you call it. I hate that. But there is a podcast called Dating While Gray. That's changed our dating while gray.
What? There's nothing wrong with gray.
Laura's like, fuck that shit. I'm not gray, baby. Nor am I.
Guess what?
Oh, she is gray.
No, I'm not. I covered it on Wednesday.
Well, guess what? It's a facade.
Pay a lot of money not to be gray.
It's our generation and later. I mean, I think our generation dating is a little different. We did have in the happy hour, a couple of people talking about the swiping right, swiping left versus when we were growing up and not having apps and not having the internet to meet a person. It's a totally different world these days. Right. And there are a number of us in midlife who are still looking, which I think it's good for them.
Perfectly okay.
But I had terrible post-divorce dating shit. 17 years. And suddenly right. you come out in the world and it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. You were married pre-smartphone. It was a whole new world.
It's like, we're not doing this shit. So people who swipe these days, I have so much respect for, because that's not easy.
It's just different, though. I don't know if it's easier or not, because back in the day, there was nothing. So if you wanted to meet somebody, you had to actually meet
them. Go someplace, you know? Right. You had to go find them.
Yeah. And then like, if you lived in a city, or a city like New York, nobody has any room in their apartments. So unless you knew somebody had a ground floor apartment or a roof deck, it's like you go meet at the bar.
Right.
And it's like a trope in every sitcom, but it's true. It's like you go to your local bar and you hang out and then you meet somebody.
Or your coffee shop.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
And that was it. I can't imagine. I would be such an introvert and I never want to just leave.
Laura, what are you actively dating?
Negative, Charlie.
Because you've got a new house and a new location.
Not going to mess it up with a boy. What if you ran across somebody tomorrow at a bar or somewhere and you got connected to them? Would you think about it?
Well, that would be different. I'm just not going to do the whole dating app thing. It just, I don't want to. I'm not going to. And I don't want anybody living in my house.
Yes.
No, I really don't.
I'm serious. It's your way.
I just don't want anybody in my house. I like how I live. I have a good gig. I don't want to do it.
I don't blame you.
I dated a lot in my 20s and 30s.
You did.
I did. So I feel like been there, done that.
But you're a different human in your 50s.
And that's why I don't want anybody living in my house.
Don't touch my stuff.
Don't touch my stuff, man. I got everything the way I want it. Right. You
know? Well, here's the thing. In being married for so long, it really is kind of a cliche, but there's a certain truth to some cliches is that like I get a little space and everything else around the house, I have nothing to say with and I'm fine with that.
You have whatever, your spot and she's got the rest.
And what, okay. However that needs to be addressed or taken care of, I just say, yep, that's I'm absolutely no problem.
I think we would all agree here that Chris is a good husband.
Well, you don't live with me. No, I don't think I'm bad. I don't think I'm bad.
25 years. She thinks you're a good husband.
Well, that depends on the day.
You bring up a really good point. Marriage is hard. Like relationships.
Requires attention. I wouldn't say hard. It requires attention. You got to pay attention. You got to listen. You got to talk. And you have to know that it goes up and down. It just does.
They don't teach you that. No one tells you that after the wedding, you have to work at it every single day. No one tells you that shit. So I don't know how many people our age have run into that. I think people are a little bit more transparent now. I think the people are marrying later. A lot of people aren't even getting married at all because they don't need that. But the rush towards marriage was an interesting one for me because I felt I came to it late and then I had to catch up. And then suddenly I'm like, wait a minute, where'd this come from? This is like hard shit. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then towards the end of it, when he came out, it was like, nobody tells you about that shit.
Not in the handbook.
Hallmark does not make a card for that one either.
No. They do not. Right now, I am in a relationship with an old friend who lives a lot of states away.
Okay.
And while it's been sucking during the pandemic because he can't come here, I'm with Lori.
Right.
I have my space. I get the good parts about talking to him and having whatever I need with him. And then it's like, click, off to go do my own shit. And nobody can bother me. I don't even think I'd ever get married again. That would be a trouble.
Well, you would need more space.
Right.
Or you could get joining apartments or houses.
And people do that. Have you heard about this? That there are houses that are being sold with two masters so that you can have your own bedroom and then you can spend time with each other if you want. Or if not, you're in your own bedroom and then it's totally okay. How many years now have you been married, Court?
Oh, forever. We've been together 25, 26. This year's 21st anniversary.
Wow.
And we've been together over a quarter century. And when you say that out loud, my mind just kind of explodes. I've been with him longer than not with him.
I think that's incredible. And for those of us who couldn't do that, it is even more incredible because it shows the work that you've done. I don't know what marriage means to other people our age at this point. I don't know if there are people our age who are just sort of like sucking it up. Mm. Maybe our parents or the grandparents did. I can't imagine we're the generation that would do that. That we would just be like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
I would agree with that. Let's just stay in it because we said we were. That just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. No. I'm a romantic at heart. So when I hear about the two of you guys, I also look at Lori and I'm like, you're going to find somebody. Someone's going to like show up and they're going to be like, I don't need to be in your space. I'll see you for dinner.
Makes no difference to me.
So here we are. We're all in our 50s. What does partnership look like for the second half of our life? Is there any anything different in the first 25 than the next 25?
I think more things happen. That partnership can be a really stable and good place to be. If you communicate with each other, people are going to start getting sick. You have to deal with declining family members or just life things that happen. They're happening more with the more frequency as you get older. That's a big thing. Having a partner, it's just somebody to talk to, I guess.
To be on your side, to be
on your side.
That's the key thing. And they all, you know, each other's idiosyncrasies. So if I turn to him and I say, oh my God, I'm having this thing. He's like, I know. And he knows what to say.
Yep.
Or right? not. And I know what to say to him. But they also know how to really freaking annoy you. So if he's in a mood and wants to like get a reaction, he knows exactly what to do.
Because he knows your buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it keeps the spice alive. But I think looking ahead, we talk a lot about being a sandwich generation. We have a child and we have aging parents and one of his father's already passed. So we think a lot about what's it going to look like in the next 10 years for us and what are we going to need to do? And so we're having those kind of conversations. We're also thinking about what's going to happen when we have more freedom.
Right.
What are we looking for?
Empty nesters.
Where do we want to live? What do we want our lifestyle to be? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And that's kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah. Lori, knowing that you don't want anyone to share your home.
Do you have a guest house?
I don't have a guest house.
You should put like a little teepee and then the boy stays in the teepee.
I do think about it because I'm like, oh, well, who's going to have to clean up all my stuff? But no, I'm serious. Like I think about that stuff and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. I guess I'll worry about it as it gets closer.
I like that attitude. There are a lot of people when I was younger, they were like, I have to have a man. I have to have a relationship. I have to have him. So I'm happy to hear that's not the case for some of us. Lori doesn't want anyone in her house.
I don't want anybody living in my house. Unless you're willing to go online, it makes it harder and harder.
Yeah, it does. But again, I have a long distance boyfriend that I can just wave at across the states. And you look so cute over there. Stay there. We've had a lot of good conversations with our Facebook group. We're going to use their clips to hear some of the things they said.
How long have you been with your boyfriend?
9 years. It was been 9 years this summer. It's not that we don't have any interest in marriage. We aren't in any hurry. I'm obviously too old to have kids. He has an adult daughter. We both have some things that we're working on financially that we'd like to get in order before we get married. So we agree it's going to happen sometime down the roadway, but we're not like running down the aisle. I think one of the reasons we've talked about getting married is because John has rheumatoid arthritis. And with the health issues, I want to be able to make decisions to be able to go there, things like that. So it's more of a smart decision in terms of marriage, in terms of us thinking we need to be married. Because if it wasn't anything like that, I probably wouldn't even bother. It's that I've never been into the big ceremony and all that stuff.
A couple in different levels of the house, not even just rooms.
Same level. Okay. I could probably yell and you would hear me.
Hey, Chris, if you yelled and I was in the basement, they could hear you.
That's probably true.
Welcome to marriage, boys and girls.
Some of us aspire to date if they get a break from 1 6-year-old, which probably means it's never going to happen.
When we first started dating, I don't think a lot of people expected us to be together this long.
I wasn't really in a good headspace.
So it was a challenge at first for us, but we're completely opposite. You don't tolerate the differences as well. When you're younger, you'll tolerate them. And then by the time you're older, you just have zero fucks left to give. And you're like, just whatever. Is that about right, Dave?
Yes, dear.
There's also one's definition of love changes. I thought I was in love when I was in my mid-20s. And then later, when I had this other relationship in my 30s, I realized that was really, really love.
I've been told that I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body. And then we learn a little bit more about gender roles and identity and conformity. And I realize that I'm a lesbian possessing a man's body like a fucking demon. And I'm not leaving because it's pretty good in here, to be honestly. Shit's pretty dope in terms of moving around the world.
I think at the time, it was the institution part of it, honestly. You know, a lot of my friends had gotten married. But I got to admit, it's not easy. It is, and it's not for everybody.
So my sister-in-law wants to throw us a 10th anniversary party because I think she thinks we're not going to have a wedding. We always thought it would be cool to surprise everybody and just get the fuck married at the party.
Christine and I got married on the courthouse in New Orleans. And the judge that married us had a deep Creole accent and a cleft palate. So it was just one of those amazing things.
We got married late. It was her second marriage, my first. She was 44, I was 42. And the wedding was probably a highlight. We got married at the ballpark. We were both big seam heads. So that actually suited us really well.
I don't need to be courted. Like, we already know. Let's just cohabitate. It doesn't need to be this whole going steady for, like, whatever. We're going together, like high school, and then we're going to go to this level. And then, what was the point? I spent all my 30s in online dating, and it was awful. Our Gen Xers finding relationships in different ways than online dating, because if you're not in college, how do you meet people?
We don't discuss our relationship on Facebook. If we're having a problem, we're having a problem. We don't bring people into it. I mean, everybody fights. Everybody has arguments.
I think an early joke that it's said from our relationship is that if we're not fighting, we're divorced. We're too stubborn, too strong-willed people that have been married for over 20 years.
Basically, fuck off and fuck you and flipping the bird is kind of a term of endearment in our house.
I just came back from dinner with my ex, his girlfriend, and my kids. It was good.
Really? Let me see your wine glass.
I'm drinking water, even. 7.5 years since we split up, and they've been dating. I have no jealousy whatsoever. Like, good for you. Better you than me. If we didn't have kids together, I wouldn't be friends with him, but we had to. People don't even know we sit together at the kids' events. They're always like, where's your husband? I'm like, I don't have one.
I think for those of us who are the children of divorce, my parents split up like right before I started junior high school. But I felt for a long time that the worst thing that could happen was that you would get divorced. It's one of the reasons I married so late. I was married a little over 4 years. I called it about 3.5 years in. It was the smartest decision I ever made, and I would not have predicted that even 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
I'm divorced on April 1st, 2005. And the judge said, are you sure you want to get divorced on April Fool's Day? And I said, as long as you don't tell me you're fooling after you say we're done.
All right, that is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@genxstories.com and we will do some shout outs on a future episode. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Instagram @GenXStories or join our ever-growing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?